You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the S E A.
Hello and welcome to a partial edition of the Fabulous Pelton Cast, sponsored by our friends at Pagliacci Pizza. I'm your co-host Kevin Pelton,
and I'm Tristan Carcino,
and we'll be coming to you later in the week with a full Pelton Cast, but we wanted to record after Mariners opening night, which meant that we were going to lose out on pre-opening night takes. So we're going to do that here today and also just discuss some Mariners news this week because there's been plenty of it. Starting with a six-year, $105 million contract for the big dumper, who is now signed through 2030. Tristan, your thoughts?
I think there was so much doom and gloom. There was dumper, doom, and gloom from the Mariners. This is who we are as a fan base, right?
Not from the Mariners, about the Mariners.
About the Mariners. From the Mariners fan base. About pending free agency for Kyle Raleigh. And so to alleviate that doom and that gloom is so huge. To lock up Kyle Raleigh through his prime, if we're being honest with ourselves right now, he is going to be a Mariner through basically all of his prime, should he want to be, because of the full no-trade clause that Cal has. And I think this shows that, again, people are like, the Mariners never spend, right? It's not a massive deal that they're paying Kyle Raleigh on, right? It's not an obscene amount of money, but they're willing to spend money now to make sure that Kyle Raleigh is spending his prime with the Mariners. It's what they did with Julio. It's the right decision overall. And I think this contract, I was surprised at how team friendly it was. And I was kind of surprised that Kyle was willing to agree to it too, but it's a little bit of he's playing, he's a catcher. Obviously we don't know necessarily how that'll age. It's a little bit of betting on the Mariners, like of Kyle Raleigh, not betting on himself, right? It's a little bit of protection for Kyle Raleigh, and for the Mariners to have done that and to have gotten him on a deal that, even if he ends up being injured, whatever, I'm going to knock on wood massively about this. If something happens to Kyle,
yeah, no, you bring that up.
They're still protected in that place, right? It's not going to radically change the organization. So I thought this deal was awesome for all sides. And most importantly, I'm excited about the dumper being back. And most importantly, I'm excited not have to hear people complaining about how he's not coming back.
I mean, I think if you want the most charitable possible read to Mariners ownership on their spending, the idea is we're saving now to try to build up the treasury so that we're going to spend a lot more when our young players are, you know, off of these early contracts and in their prime years. And we'll see what happens with the pitching staff. Long ways to go there. But obviously, they took care of business with Julio Rodriguez during his rookie season with a deal that makes it very likely he will play nearly his entire career, if not his entire career, in Seattle. So assuming that he wants to. Cal Raleigh now, something similar where it's potentially through 2031, which is when he has a vesting player option for $20 million. I said through 2030. And, you know, those are the guys on offense. So we'll see who else is part of this team long-term with them, but we can pretty much pencil in Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez for the foreseeable future in Seattle. And that's an exciting place to start.
Well, and I think that's the other piece though, is like, yes, they're not spending in a free agency. Players like this aren't hitting free agency in that same sort of way, right? If Cal Raleigh were a free agent at 27 and this is the deal that he got, that would be an awesome deal for whatever team signed him, right? So the Mariners are doing the smart thing by extending a player like this, right, and signing him for those extra years, paying a little bit more now to be able to have him for those handful of years longer. That's not the kind of deals that you're getting in free agency though. And I think that's obviously, given the budget constraints, how the team has to operate, right? But they did the thing, and they haven't proven to us at any point this particular, you know,
cycle,
ownership and executive team, right? They haven't proven to us that they're not willing to extend players, right? In fact, I think they've proven to us the exact opposite. And I think there's this concern that it's like, oh, when these players come up, they won't do. And it's like, prove that they haven't yet. And they have been willing to spend on those players. So I was excited about it right before the season starts too. There's a little bit of like, all right. Like
on a gorgeous sunny day in Seattle, you could feel summer today.
It was just kind of a surprising one to come through. It wasn't on my radar, the like Dumper extension.
I agree.
It's like the exact opposite of the, well, maybe the same surprisingness why I said the Geno trade, where it's like, oh, wow, that came out of left field. I was expecting this.
No, that was more surprising.
But I was expecting this to be something that would drag on quite a bit longer and would linger over the team. And they said, this is the heart of the freaking team right here. Like, if you talk about, we talk about timelines all the time, right? Is it the pitching staff? Is it Julio? Is it the Dumper? Like, they're locking up those players who are the heart of this particular team right now.
Well, move that was a little bit less surprising, particularly in the wake of a strong spring training for our buddy Rowdy Tellez, was the Mariners' decision on Sunday to release Mitch Haniger going into what was the final season of his contract at $15.5 million. Haniger, you know, unfortunately, this second stint in Seattle is not, you know, just for the one season, is not going to go down in the same way as his first stint in Seattle. But I think you look at the overall tenure, the overall body of work, an all-star in 2018, a key part of the 2021 team, getting so close to breaking the playoff drought, then penning the article in the Players Tribune saying, we're going to do it. And then they come back, and even though he didn't play quite as well, and you know, was missed a lot of time due to injury in 2022, still was part of the first Mariners team to make the playoffs since 2001. So Mitch Haniger, there is a special place for him in Mariners history, I think.
I friggin' love Mitch Haniger overall, right? And he was somebody who, you know, he'd spent the one season in Arizona, and he was good, but he still kind of came out of nowhere for us. That I don't think we really had expectations for.
What do you mean we didn't have expectations for? Did we? Did we?
Oh,
have
I was.
Awareness?
I think I was paying attention. At this
okay.
Point. I mean, at least
this was a notable trade, attention. Certainly.
But he wasn't necessarily like, and Gene Segura was the focal point of that initial
without
deal.
Question.
And so that's kind of the way it's been for the Mariners. I will be honest. If we're looking at the other side of it, it's a very, very bad trade. You know, it. Do you know who they traded in this deal?
Ketel Marte.
Ketel Marte, yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now.
You're just learning that?
I mean, I'm sure somewhere deep in the recesses of my brain I knew that.
But
it's not like
even
actively
given
aware.
That they ended up trading who would be a future superstar in Marte. You know, it basically is like it was those players for J.P. Crawford and the years of Mitch Haniger, Gene Segura, etc. But it was really just the injuries that held Mitch back for a couple of those seasons. I mean, you look at the two fuller seasons that he played, 39 homers in 2021. And then in the 2018 season, I think he finished, 11th in MVP voting. He was an all-star. He was received MVP votes in 2021 also, and 6.5 wins in that 2018 season. So if it weren't for injury, I think, you know, he could have had an even greater career for the Mariners, but really taking the team as a leader during this time period, kind of pre-Julio, pre-Dumper, and putting the team on his back. So I always like Mitch Haniger.
Yeah, I mean, he was a veteran leader in a way that at that stage of their career, those guys couldn't be.
Yeah, the Mitchapalooza, when he was playing, he played some games in Tacoma coming back from injury. I want to say this was 2022. And there's the Mitchapalooza from Old School, them making those signs for the Rainiers. It was perfection.
I didn't invent that when I did a Mitchapalooza sign for the final game of the 2021 regular season after that one Mariners game that I watched in full on the Saturday night that Mitch Haniger won for the Mariners.
I think that was the year before they did that, right? Before they did it at the Rainiers. So
they did it in 2022 during the injury?
I think it was 2022.
Okay, so I clearly invented that.
Yes, you invented it. You're the first ever person.
No one else ever thought. Notice
I also
Mitch's
want to say,
this
your abridged podcast that we're doing, I don't know what you called it, partial podcast?
Right.
Oops All Mariners.
It is, yes.
It's like the Discord. Oops, All Mariners. We thought we were going to be talking about other stuff, but we're just talking about the Mariners. The Oops All is the most genius bit of marketing, and I feel like they had no idea on the Oops All Crunch Berries.
How
could
they?
They were going to invent something that would just carry on forever, because it's not just us, right? Everybody loves Oops All. Are you aware of Oops All Goalies?
No.
There's like an event that like Joy Decord was a part of it in Seattle that they do, where it's like these events that there's tons of goalies on the ice that happen. I think they did it in Renton, I think, at Showa Center.
Five on five hockey with only goalies. So the team's like the goaltender's trade, who's in net?
I'm not sure what the rules are of that. I think
Huh.
that there's a rule that somebody has to come dressed like a banana, I want to say. It's pretty bonkers, but it looks quite fun.
Wow.
It
Okay.
seemed I saw it and it seemed like something that Carcino family would invent.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds fair.
But I just I the oops all is just genius marketing.
It looks like someone might be dressed as a hot dog here.
Oh, maybe you have to be dressed as a hot dog, not a banana. Just because the first one somebody dressed as a hot dog, so they made it a rule that somebody has to be dressed as a hot dog on the ice at all time, I want to say.
So this occurred at the Kraken Community Iceplex. And
oh,
that's
is
why
that that's in the north end, in Northgate?
Yes.
Okay.
Northgate, as it's known on this podcast. There be danger. Anyways, while we're on the topic of giving Mariners ownership credit, like, look, the Mariners could have kept Mitch Haniger all the way past the trade deadline, hoping that there were some sort of deal was going to materialize where they could find a way to get off part of his salary and save some money. And instead, like, it's not like they're spending a lot more to just keep Rowdy Tellez as a non-roster invite, but they are signing off on just making that a sunk cost and moving forward with the best possible roster that the Mariners could have coming out of spring training. And I do believe they deserve the smallest amount of credit for making that decision.
Okay, I just want to note, we're giving them credit before the season has started. They haven't lost a game yet.
I don't
so
think
if anybody out there...
they lose a game.
Oh, they lose every game. The players win the games. Ownership loses the games. Don't you know how this goes? Jerry DePoto loses every game. But
embattled Jerry DePoto. I don't know if you caught that.
Wait, who said he was in battle?
That was in the Seattle Times today.
What is he embattled about?
People are angry on the internet.
I guess so. I feel like embattled is kind of a different word, but
I think embattled is kind of an overused word.
This is before the Mariners have lost a game. So just come back if the season starts slowly. I don't want to be too glowing about ownership, but the season hasn't started yet. So
I want to do it process-wise.
They're undefeated right now.
I mean, agree.
I think you could process-wise for the Mariners, you could see it either way.
Well, that's fair.
That's why they're fun to complain about.
Embattled John Schneider does not lead to any hits, at least about the Seahawks. John Schneider, there appears to be a dentist who might have been embattled. All right. With that, it is time for your favorite segment.
Hello! And welcome to regular season Mariners hot takes. It has been a long one, folks. From the
so
narrow
long.
Miss that was the 2024 season to now, we have spent four arduous, frigid, anxiety-filled, bad news, no good in this world kind of months. But guess what? It won't fix all or maybe even any of our problems. But baseball is back. And Seattle showed up today for it. 70 degrees and 90 feet is all we need. Now, these months have been long as well because we have endured nonstop, around the clock, complaining from fans and foes alike about this team. But I ask you, would you give notes to perfection? Would you tell Basquiat to stay within the lines? Would you tell Airplane, hey, maybe less jokes? Would you tell Gary Payton to throw less alley-oops to Sean Kemp? Well, then why are you telling a perfect roster to be better? Inarguably, the most fun, if not the best outfield in baseball, heading into a bounce-back season for Julio. I think you could safely lock him in for AL MVP, at least. A now locked-in big
what
number.
Else would be better than that?
There are records to be broken, thank you. A now locked in big dumper. You'll be seeing that derriere until at least 2031. Speaking of bounce backs, strap yourself in for a 40 homer season for Mitch Garver and a 30 homer season from Jorge Polanco, who I kind of forgot was on the team until now. All that, plus a scrappy infield with soon-to-be fan favorite Donnie Barrels, Ryan Bliss, and, of course, sorry, Mitch, but things in Seattle are about to get rowdy. Marine layer what? Speaking of those haters, we have one of them here on this very podcast. A person who cannot see true greatness right in front of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 aces on one rotation. You better believe I'm including Emerson Hancock. Each pitcher better than the last. Somehow the two best starters on the rotation are the two newest. I'd predict a Cy Young winner, but I can't tell who's going to have the best season. They may not give up a run all year with the staff. And the thing about the Mariners is they love the fastball. That's where it starts with this team, with their rotation. And the last piece they're missing is a great nickname, which is why you've seen the Bash Brothers in the AL West. And just up north, the Mariners have the Gas Brothers, which is what I'm going to be calling the six starters full of heat. Watch your motherfucking back, American League. Couple that with the full season of the 95 spirit from Thunder Dan Wilson, and a pennant isn't enough, because this roster is, say it with me.
Oh no. He's doing the thing.
No holes. Whew, I'm ready for baseball.
Oh boy. I'm very curious to see how all takes Tristan handles opening night on Thursday.
We'll see. I credited ownership here. Maybe that was you. No.
Did you mention Ryan Bliss?
No holes. I did mention Ryan Bliss.
Okay.
With Donnie Barrels.
Opening night starter at second base, it sounds like. Jorge Polanco holding it down at third base. Rowdy Tellez likely to get the start against right-handed pitchers. It's going to be interesting. Are you declaring no holes? Is that part of perfect roster? Is perfect roster stronger than no holes?
The last thing that I said was, say it with me, has no holes. What do you mean by declaring that? You didn't even hear the very, it's in all caps. I wrote it down.
I was too busy.
Coupled that with a full season of the 95 spirit from Thunder Dan Wilson, and a pennant isn't enough, because this roster, say it with me, has no holes.
I was still stuck on Gas Brothers. I do think that's a terrific nickname.
Oh, no,
for
that's
the
it.
Starting
that's
rotation.
It. We're done. Period.
I don't know how we get that to catch on, but
I did research. We use it. We're right here. They're the Gas Brothers.
Have
that's
we gotten
what this
anything
rotation
else
is.
To catch on?
No. We haven't had anything that good yet. So anyway, Randy just showed up at your house.
he did, yes. He had to drop off a microphone. So is one does. He did not share any Mariners hot takes. Later.
Apparently me doing Mariners hot takes is like you during Mariners hot takes is like me during the Sounders section. You were like, did you mention Ryan Bliss? And I'm like, they're playing who? The Earthquakes? I'm like, there's a team in Santa Fe now, I guess.
Well, look, you're going to be pretty shocked when you find out there's a team in Sacramento in Major League Baseball.
Sacramento. I'm like at the game and I'm like, Paul Airy, what? Nobody has told me about this person.
So do we have any other thoughts about the 2025 Mariners before things begin? I guess we could look at the projections a little bit, which it seemed to have gotten a slight bit more positive lately, it feels like. I don't know. That's my read on things. You have no take. You have no position on this.
On whether the projections have gone...
Like the statistical projections. All right, FanGraphs playoff odds.
They can't change that. Like, what is...
Mariners are 60%. They are the clear favorite in the AL West in FanGraphs.
Yeah, the take said it all. Mm-hmm. The take said it.
5% chance of winning the World Series.
I'm thinking higher.
I know you are. Oh, well, we should mention Matt Brash throwing in the Cactus.
I know. I didn't get to the bullpen, but
that was a pretty exciting development.
When your roster has no holes, the bullpen also doesn't have holes.
Oh, because it was a little like Swiss cheese for parts of last season. The bullpen, kind of the unsung culprit of the 2024 Seattle Mariners.
I think the bullpen was probably like, if you had to pinpoint, it's funny that everybody gets mad about the offense. It's like, in the end, it wasn't They were maybe average, right? Maybe even slightly above average. The pitching staff, according to you, is bad, but according to every other person, is great.
And I've often said it. The Mariners starting pitchers are bad.
That's, I mean, it's a quote, but it's fine.
67% odds to make the playoffs, according to Pecota, although second in AL West playoff odds behind Texas. Pecota is just very high on the AL West relative to the AL East, predicting three teams for 87 plus wins on average in the AL West, and only Baltimore in that range AL West. So the Mariners
they're
have
the
these...
one projection system that likes the Orioles, because I thought you told me last week that basically no projection systems like the Orioles.
Yeah, I don't know about no projection systems. The Mariners' second highest projected record in the AL in Pecota right now. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess there is reason for optimism.
I mean, Cutter's going to start the year on the injured list. Like, I don't know if we've heard any latest on Kirby, what that is looking like, but...
Not any clear updates that I've seen lately. Mariners also second highest projected record in Fangraphs. So there you go.
I guess... I think the smart way to look at it would be to take all of these projection systems, not latch on a one, right? Would be to take all of these projection systems and more or less average them out to get an overall projection from everybody.
Without question.
The Mariners, if you do that, are looking pretty excellent in the AL West. It's projections. They actually have to play the games. But going into the season, I think you have to assume that the Mariners are the favorites in the AL West. It's funny all the Cam Smith stuff where I'm like, he was the 14th pick in 2024.
Was he that high?
I mean, yeah, he was the 14th pick.
Okay.
Was part of the Kyle Tucker trade. And I feel like you never really can tell on these things, but, you know, he was number 20 in the Baseball Prospectus prospect rankings. I am going to do a personal projection for Cam Smith. And that, what is the Astros AAA affiliate?
I want to say it's the New Orleans Zephyrs, but that would be pretty wild if I knew that information off the top of my head.
That's where he's going to be in July. That's my projection for Cam Smith. Building a bunch of hype based upon spring training is how you Jared Kelenic yourself.
So it's interesting because as we said, the Mariners are probably the slight statistical favorites in the AL West. They are third in the actual gambling odds at ESPN Bet, plus 225.
They
Astros
have a great
plus 140.
Minor league affiliate, by the
Rangers
way.
Rangers plus 200. Who is it?
The Sugar Land Space Cowboys.
Those are the AAA?
Yep.
Really?
Unless the AI overview is wrong, which, by the way, earlier, I looked at the AI overview on something and it was just so confidently, hilariously wrong. It was like a summary of it wouldn't have been wrong, but a thing changed. It was like who Jack Antonoff's manager was. And I was looking at this other person and they were like, this person is, and like, has the person had not worked with Jack Antonoff for multiple years. But the AI overview is like, this person leads their career. It just like summarized one article. And I'm like, yeah, things do change, AI. They are not permanently static, but it was so confidently incorrect.
Well, sadly, the New Orleans Zephyrs have not existed for a long period of time. First,
they had to be shot.
First, because they were renamed in classic minor league affiliate fashion, the New Orleans Baby Cakes for the 2017 to 2019 seasons. But then, as part of the reorganization of minor league baseball, they ceased to exist in New Orleans and moved to the AA and now are in Wichita.
I will give it up to the Astros minor league affiliates. The Asheville Tourists, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers. Come on, these are amazing.
Well, there you go. We will not have more coverage of Houston Astros minor league affiliates.
We'll have coverage of whether I could spell the word affiliates.
Oh, no. I'm guessing if there's coverage, it's because the answer is no.
The Modesto Nuts is pretty solid, and the Aqua Sox. I think maybe we're like too used to the Aqua Sox, but I'm fascinated to see who's going to be playing there this year in Everett, you know, because I think we're paying more attention to the Mariners prospects than almost ever. I didn't even mention Cold Emerson. That's going to be Mariner in 2025, Cold Emerson, of course. But if one of those players is playing up at Funko Field, I got to get up to Everett. It's the first time that sentence has ever been uttered on the Pelton Cast.
Well, this is the first time this sentence has ever been uttered on the Pelton Cast. The Sacramento Athletics are coming to town on Thursday, and we will plan to record after that game. the weekly pod, where we will also discuss UW women's basketball losing in the first four, the Seahawks signing a variety of special teamers, and bringing some players back home to the Pacific Northwest beyond just Cooper Kupp, and the rest of this week's regularly scheduled pod, including the Sounders section that you will not pay attention to.
Maybe after hearing all of those things, we keep it to Oops All Mariners.
On that note,
thanks for listening.
Thanks. I'm Kevin Pelton.
I'm Tristan Carcino.
I'm Chris Smith.
And I'm Randy Cote.
And we're talking taco time.
Fresh, fresh, delicious.
And we are joined this time, I can't say this week because it's been like 9 months since we've recorded.
this trimester.
By Randy's compatriot on the tour to Taco Time, which we will discuss later in this pod. Please welcome Colden Cullen.
Hello, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me. Longtime listener, first time caller.
There you go. We start off, though, with breaking news. We are the only podcast that has had multiple emergency pods about the taco burger.
There we go.
At Taco Time Northwest.
Check the Marine Layer podcast.
because it is back as of Tuesday. And have all of us had it today? Tristan, did you have it?
Absolutely, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Checking in, yes. Even Colton had it. That's true.
Five for five here. All right, who wants to start us off here with thoughts on the return of the taco burger?
There's a question. We know that the rest of us have had the taco burger before. Colden, have you had a taco burger before today?
No, today was my first experience.
It
was
a maiden voyage.
We should start there.
Yeah. Like, did you even have one back in the day, the old 1.0 taco burger?
No, this was literally my first ever burger of taco. I was very impressed. I will say, I don't really know. Randy didn't give me, I didn't know anything about what I was getting into. Randy didn't give me any context. He just like, he frantically texted me this morning and he's like, hey,
everything
man,
everything is right. Condensed into words, taco and burger.
Yeah, exactly. So he was like, hey man, there's this taco burger thing. We should do that for lunch. And I was like, great. Love that. Yes, we did. We got one of the chicken, one of the beef, and we split them both. And yeah, I mean, it was a lot more taco and a lot less burger than I was expecting, but I think that that's good. Like, I think I would just describe it as if like, you know, sometimes you get a taco and ask if you want it on like a flour or corn tortilla. And this would be like, if you're like, fuck that, give it to me on a hamburger bun, right? Like that's basically
yes.
What it is, right? Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. I think it works exactly as described. And I had a very positive experience.
I mean, the Thousand Island is key too, but yeah, the brioche bun, really the star of the show.
Wow. Okay. Randy, do you have hot
Here we
Thousand
go.
Island ticks? I feel like Randy's coming in.
I texted this group a picture of the burgers to be like, you know, mission accomplished, whatever. And I said, I had takes. I don't think we got Thousand Island today on this burger.
What? I did.
Yeah. So,
I know I did.
And that was the old one. And we got it. And it was either just like ranch or just straight up mayonnaise.
I think it was mayo because it didn't taste like ranch.
Yeah, and so it was like just a little, there just the lightest amount of maybe mayo. And I said,
can you screen cap this, Kevin?
So I was like, well, that's interesting. And I didn't in the moment go and click around and see like, it, are they doing something different, whatever, until an hour later when I, you know, saw their official post, you know, you should go have one for lunch. And of course I was like, jokes on you, Taco Time. I already did. And it talked about the Thousand Island, which was very just not evident. And I even said to Colden when we had it, I was like, yeah, in the Thousand Island, it's a little tangy. You get a little like pickly moment, which is a little burgery. Like, mm-hmm. And that was not what we experienced today. But also the Inner Bay Taco Time was kind of going through it today at lunch. So it was the first day. So
I think there was two people working there.
Yeah.
There.
So it was, and yeah, all the Expedia people were, you know, trying to get their taco burger. And so, you know, gotta give it another go in a little bit.
But I love the idea. The Expedia people were lining up for the taco burger. We were it. I feel like
only because the Sonic's office moved, you know, it is no longer down the street. Otherwise it would have been our contingent.
Truly. I don't recall like mayo even being in the
That's
building.
What I was
gonna
say.
So
no, but that's why yeah. I was like, was it the white sauce? Was it? It was something because it was not nothing, but it was
could
not
have been just
Island.
Like some regular sour cream, maybe or
no, yeah. I don't know. I felt like the texture was different. It was it was not like a dry taco, but it was also not like it didn't feel like it added anything of like flavor note. It was just kind of like, yeah, it's a little moist now.
At first, I thought there was just nothing on it, and then I looked, and it was like, there's something here, but it's not.
That's true. I watched Randy peel lettuce off of a bun.
I'm appalled at this report that you have right now.
PSI taco time.
I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, whatever condiment you're talking about, unless it's ranch would be fine, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sour cream, possibly. It's funny that sour cream is a normal taco ingredient, American taco ingredient. But at taco time, it just seems terrible. Like, we're like, ranch, yes, that is it.
Yes.
Whatever you had on this taco burger was incomplete. As far as these taco burgers are concerned. And you still liked it, Colton?
I did, yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see what more we get, you know, as we kind of get into our warming up period here. But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. I like tacos and I like...
I will say, you know how the ranch has like a whipped nature to it, right? And the sour cream to a lesser degree, it was not like that. It was like, it tasted like straight up mayonnaise. I wondered if, anyway.
Weird.
So weird.
I don't think I would eat that if it had mayonnaise on it.
I mean, I'd try it.
Yeah, I'd eat it.
It's a one-of-a-kind thing. We'll probably never get to have it again.
So. Yeah, no one else has ever had this taco burger,
that
probably.
That is true.
Except all those Expedia employees.
They ran out of Thousand Island. They're just like, this will do.
Fuck it, mayo.
Yeah, by 1240, close they enough. Were out of Thousand Island.
Yeah.
Shit, send someone to Safeway and get some mayonnaise.
I did not know this information that you're saying. And it was Taco Tuesday at the Carcino household, obviously. We had white American tacos. And Marco was like, I'm thinking about putting mayonnaise on my taco. And I was like, Marco, do not do that. I was like, it would be abhorrent if you put mayonnaise on this taco. These flavors do not go together.
No, it wasn't bad.
All right.
But it was also such a light touch, so.
And the bun probably helps, you know. We're used to mayonnaise in a bun, you know.
Yeah. That's a little like the old joke. In such small portions, too.
Wow, okay.
No, I mean, I thought that my taco burger 2.0 was outstanding. I don't know where you were at, Chris and Tristan.
So
did you
good.
Do any customizations, either of you?
I added corn salsa. Because I don't think I could eat anything without it anymore. But
we went no mods because it was his first time, right? We needed to level set.
Except for the mayo, of course.
Yeah, of course, obviously. This one does.
I don't know where you found that one in the app. I always put pinto bean on my chicken taco burger to give it the greater consistency, you know, to
hold everything in place.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did pinto bean as well. I did beef. I don't know if I would do pinto bean with the chicken, but I did beef with the pinto bean and then jalapenos as well. Honestly,
jalapenos on the burger.
Yeah, yeah, right on there.
That they put on.
Yes.
Or you? Okay. Nice.
Not to put Colden on blast, but when you walk up to the menu, it was like one price for pinto bean, and then it said beef, chicken, and then a price. And so he was like, "Oh, the beef chicken one, like beef and chicken, like co-mingled is what." Was and I was like, oh no, they're separate. And then I was like, but actually, you know,
the dot in the middle between the two is very small. In my defense,
yeah, it was a very small dot.
Because Randy was like, let's get one of each, and I was like, well, I only see a few things up there, and one of these doesn't. Oh, well, they both sound confusing. I don't know.
Isn't Taco Time International where they just have meat.
Oh my god! The first time I saw that, I immediately left the building. I was like, I can't.
That's good and burning down the place.
He comes by, honestly, folks.
Yeah. Oh, that was I learned the hard way that those are two different taco times that day.
Everybody has to learn.
By listening to the podcast. About
it. That's the easiest way to learn about it.
By listening to my favorite podcast. No, I thought it was phenomenal, though. Honestly, it was precisely the same as the previous generation of Taco Burger.
Was it last year or was it longer?
It was last spring, right?
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Around the same time.
I thought it was before or after our last Chicken Caesar orbit? I can't recall. But it was on either side of the Chicken Caesar.
Yeah. And when they relaunched it the last time, I think I ate three within like 10 minutes.
That's commitment. Anything else on the taco burger before the listener goes and checks it out?
Clearly. If anyone, just drop me a line. If this mayonnaise is more than just a one-off thing, We gotta know.
Or if you want mayonnaise, go to Interbay. Yeah. Let us know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say it's good. Al's recommendation of getting the beans, which is something I was thinking about when I was in the middle of eating it, because it was, you know, it gets kind of messy. I was like, oh, some light beans would be nice on here to hold everything in place. And obviously, corn salsa is the shit. So I would recommend that.
So this time, when the Taco Burger 2.0 reappeared on the LTO limited time only menu at Taco Time Northwest, it was replacing, what is it? The corn chowder is the winter.
Corn chowder, and they had the spicy.
That's what I was getting to, because the last time we recorded back in July, the only one of us who had had the spicy tater fries at Taco Time Northwest was Tristan, because they popped up originally at his home Fairwood location, but subsequently they went chain wide, and obviously all of us had the opportunity to try those. Chris, let's start with your thoughts.
Way spicier than I was expecting. Still not like crazy spicy. Pretty good. You know, I don't get the fries too often because I'm always taking it to go, but I do like throw them right into the air fryer when I get home when I do that. So it's pretty nice. Get a start on your meal, and then you can, a few minutes in, boom, hot, spicy, Mexi fries, ready to go.
Randy, what did you think?
So for me, that we got them, I got them in my office on day one, and we did a tasting, and I didn't know if it was a day one thing too, kind of like this mayo burger, but it was like a little, just going to haunt me forever. It was like a little salt bomb. It was so, there was so much seasoning on it. Mm-hmm. And to Chris's point, it was spicier than I expected. And the smoked paprika is what really, like, I think made it unique. It wasn't just spicy. There was something more to it. Really great in the ranch, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like Chris, I'm not normally a Mexi fry every time kind of guy, but I got the spicy ones every single time I went for this whole time. I hope that it got less seasoning as time went on, and it felt like that did happen. Like they dialed it in a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. You need to like mix them up a little more. Yeah. The first time I had them, it seemed like it was kind of heavy.
Yeah.
On the seasoning, but
I had one time there was a lot of extra season, like tons of seasoning at the bottom and those little tiny little crispy things. And I was having a tostada salad, and I just dumped that whole thing in the salad. And that was like a great,
that's genius.
Good little, salty, spicy moment. So yeah, no, it was good. I'm glad they did it.
So I had them a couple of times, including just last week at the Silverdale location. I'm still nowhere close to Randy, but ticked a new TTNW off my personal list on the peninsula over there. And the thing that stood out to me is that it wasn't quite I agree that it was spicier than I expected. It also wasn't quite the spice palette I was expecting, because it was almost a little sweeter. Like to me, it reminded me of sweet, spicy chili Doritos. I don't know if you guys know what those are. That's like the kind of purple bag, right? Bag. Yeah, exactly. And I am seeing, as I search for the spice blend of sweet, spicy chili Doritos, that smoked paprika is a part of that. So maybe that's a common ingredient.
I co-sign that entire analysis. Yes, it's big, spicy.
Were you more likely to, like, going forward, are you more likely to get the tater fries if they're spicy than just the regular tater fries?
Oh, I know for me, 100%. Yeah. I even, like, today we had them with the taco burger combo meal, and I was like, it's fine, but I got to like mix this hot sauce with this ranch, and I got to do, you know, I got to go through that whole thing. It was nice to just have a ready to go tater fry, perfectly seasoned, if not over seasoned, but we'd rather have it over seasoned. So that's my vibe.
Yeah. I would lean to get them more often because of that. One of the last times I did, though, when I visited I don't know, it was Tumwater Taco Time or something, I ordered the spicy but ended up with the regular ones. But that was I ordered in person, didn't order ahead, so maybe the lady didn't hear me. But
it's a rookie mistake, ordering in person with your mouth.
Yeah.
Could never. No, I like that it is spicier though, because a lot of times, like if you're at Wendy's and they have spicy nuggets versus regular nuggets, and they taste kind of the same. Same with like McDonald's spicy, and you're like, if you're ordering the spicy thing, you should taste it, right? Like you're there, you've opted in for the spice, and that's what I like about it. Because I was a little surprised from Taco Time, because there's not, I mean, you could find spice on the menu, but base items are not particularly spicy almost anywhere. And so the first time I had it, I think is why all of us were so surprised, because it was kind of like, oh, like Taco Time actually has something that's spicy here. And I thought it was pretty exciting. I really like, I would eat normal Mexi fries, but I wouldn't order them unless it was spicy.
I'll order them either way, so it doesn't actually change my ordering, but I definitely was inclined. Like when the spicy tater fries were on the menu, that was exclusively what I was going to order for sure. So I think a very worthy addition and something that we're going to hope to see on a regular basis as part of the LTO options, if not eventually a full-time promotion to the menu at some point in the future.
Yeah, I'm just curious how they have to have it set up, because you would think this would be something that they could just do all the time. Doesn't have to be that special, but it's like then you need another tray where you're seasoning the spicy ones, and are, you know, they're probably just doing them one order at a time. So maybe a little logistically not a good move to have all the time, but maybe hopefully they did well and they can bring them back sooner than, you know, later, waiting, you know, another year.
Could you imagine a chicken Caesar soft taco with spicy Mexi fries on the inside?
Oh, come on.
Just
man.
Like, that's your gift from me right now. dream fuel, just like, you're welcome.
That does sound incredible. The combination, the chicken Caesar, like you always want, like flavor palette wise, right? And the chicken Caesar is so creamy, right? And you always want that like hint of spice in it. And I think the hot sauce to me, like the consistency of the hot sauce isn't quite right. You need something that's a little bit more textured to go with the chicken Caesar. So I think it'd be the perfect item.
I mean, well, they do the little chip strips and they season those. Maybe they can hit those with the spicy seasoning.
What are those called? Tortilla?
It's just like strips. They're just chips.
Not bad. Yeah. They're not bad.
All right. Well, let's get to the lead of this week's episode as we recap the tour to Taco Time. Randy, tell us a little bit about how this came about.
So as you may know, the listener, I have a spreadsheet, right? And, you know, yes, it had the, you know, tracker of the quest on it, but there's a second tab. It's called Talkin' Taco Time Topics. And, you know, when a vision comes to me of some dumb Taco Time thing to do, I just put it down there. Or if other people tell me things, like I've got some future stories, my sister-in-law knows the person who says they invented Crustos, and I've got to go track that down. And there was someone I was working with 5 years ago, and they said that they knew someone that had walked to every Taco Time in Seattle. And I was like, yeah, no. I think a bike
walked
ride.
From where? Like,
yeah, I surely starting with.
I've walked to almost every Taco Time in Seattle, but it's just like, you have to have a starting point.
Like from one to the other. Like they did like a 30-mile walk that like.
You can walk across the like the lower West Seattle Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say I've ever done it.
So the tour to Taco Time was born. And then obviously, right, like Colden and I met 2 years ago, and, you know, through playing hockey, and, you know, you quickly learn about people, and, you know, Taco Time, you know, kind of comes up with me. Hey, you want to go get some Taco Time? You want to listen to Taco Time? You know, it's just like
wearing the shirt after all.
And so anyway, Colden also likes to ride a bicycle just like I do. And so it was like, well, this seems great. This seems like a great little like friendship outing.
I believe Randy texted me and asked, what is your relationship with a bicycle?
What are your bicycle credentials?
Yeah, yeah. Truly, yeah.
Do you have certifications? Can anybody prove this?
Yeah.
Your relationship with a bicycle makes me think of the old SNL parody car commercial. but that's a different story.
I thought it was going to be, what is your relationship with Taco Time? Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we'd already established that relationship.
Right? Randy figures that out about a person right away.
Absolutely.
Relationship with the bison.
I don't fucking do. Okay.
Further along.
I don't think we got any background from Colded on his Taco Time credentials.
Yeah, that's true. We should go through and ask the normal talking Taco Time questions. Maybe we'll do that after, but
yeah,
we could start with Taco Time credentials.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
You're okay. On the spot now, Colton.
Yeah. So I moved to the Seattle area about 10 years ago and quickly found I lived in Redmond at the time and frequently found myself over on the other side of town for like gym and stuff and stopped by that Taco Time a couple of times and just kind of decided that it was exactly what I wanted fast food Mexican food to be, or quote unquote Mexican food. But yeah, and then kind of ever since, it's been a regular in my rotation. The Wallingford Taco Time was big for me for a long time because living in Ballard, anytime I go across town, I was kind of going past. I know, I don't, I feel bad.
R.I.P.
Sorry, everybody. The glass box in the sky.
Chipotle, you mean?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't mean Chipotle. Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm definitely not, I would not call myself a super fan, but I enjoy Taco Time every chance that I get. Yeah, for a while it was just Randy and I would just send each other pictures of Taco Time sitting on our car seats on the way home and whatnot. It's truly fantastic.
Strapped in.
The rare transplant who came here and enjoys Taco Time.
I don't get why people don't like it. Because a lot of my friends are like, oh, it's just like Taco Bell, but worse. I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, you're doing this wrong. In pretty much every way, but yeah, we tolerate that. But
just... they need a severance chip for their brain that it's like you don't need to think about Taco Bell while you're at Taco Time.
That's right, they're
two different things, two different same. Worlds,
or yeah. Mexican food, also.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
or any yeah, real exactly. Mexican food. Yeah.
So this past summer, we met in April of 2023 playing on a tournament team. And then fast forward a year to April 2024, we played on the same team in a league last summer for the same time. And so it was like, you know, we're seeing each other more often. I would go to Taco Time after our games, right? We actually, our team had a little tailgate. We had a tailgate at Taco Time, I think I mentioned on the pod, as a team. Colden, it was out of the back of Colden's truck, right? So it was pretty like set that it's like, we're going to do this true to Taco Time thing. And as some of you may know from social media, there's a Taco Time bike club or bike team. They're a competitive cycling team that Taco Time sponsors. And so I reached out to Taco Time and to the cycling team and was like, hey, can I buy one of your jerseys? Because, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it in style. And they basically said, you know, unfortunately, no, only official members of the racing team can wear the jerseys. And I was like, totally respect that. And they said, but we'd be willing to let you borrow them. They'd asked us like three questions of like, will you like, you know, represent us well? Will you help cyclists along the way if they need help? And will you follow all laws? And we're like, we can do that. Right.
No,
like,
they don't even care if you wash the shirt.
Yeah, that's because I thought that was going to be one of them, but yeah. Helping cyclists.
We did have the fun interaction in that Randy also asked if we could borrow bib shorts with the brand, and the guy was like, most people don't really care.
Yeah. I wanted to look the whole part all the way, and then it's like, yeah, that's like basically like sharing underwear with someone. So we moved on from that, and we arrived at just the shirt. So shouts to Joe Huber from the cycling team. We met up at a coffee shop, got a chat.
Is that the guy from my lawn bowling? Or was that a different guy?
Oh, I think it's a different guy. But yeah, there is some 12 people live in Seattle bullshit going on here where like someone Chris lawn bowls with is on the Taco Time cycling team. And this Joe guy who I met up with knows one of my coworkers really well because they used to work together. It was this whole just like, it was meant to be, right? So anyway, so we make our plan. We're going to meet at my house in West Seattle and go West Seattle, Rainier, Inner Bay, Shill Shoal, Lake City.
Yeah.
And this was right, like the Wallingford one closed in like July, right? So that would have been on that route. It would have been between, right, Shill Shoal and Lake City. So we meet up September 15th. bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. We hit the road.
Well, so the reason that we ended the story the way that we did was I drove my truck to the Lake City location and left it there, with the idea being that then a buddy was going to give me a ride down to Randy's place, and we'd start in West Seattle, and then kind of finish up with the vehicle there so that I could give Randy a ride home and all these things. And we're not just kind of stranded in Lake City because nobody wants that. So carry on with the circle.
Oh, yeah. So we go to the West Seattle one. We get crisp tacos. Great. We go down, right? You're screaming down the big hill to go take the low bridge. And the West Seattle low bridge is closed. It is closed for the weekend, apparently.
Wow, what?
Or there was like a big crash the night before, and it was closed or something. And so we're like, okay, great. So we're going to go like south on West Marginal Way to cross the First Avenue Bridge. And like, it's going to add a whole bunch of miles. We have to go up Beacon Hill. Like, we have to do all this bullshit. But as we're realizing the West Seattle Bridge is closed, Colding gets a flat tire on his bike.
Oh my God.
So we change a flat tire at the base of the West Seattle Bridge. It's like kind of eerily quiet because there's no traffic. It's closed. We get going. We go south on West Marginal. We're going to start the detour. And maybe 5 more minutes later, it's flat again. Like, Colden installed a brand new tube inside. It was a whole thing. And we're like, what do we do? There's no bike shop open. It's a Sunday. And we had to call it. We gave up right there. So we went 2.6 miles. I drove us to Lake City. We picked up Taco Time. Colden was like, I know a brewery near here. So we just like drank some beers, had some Taco Time. And we're just like, today was not the day. Right. Anything I'm missing from attempt number one?
I don't think so.
Because it was like a 10-minute bike ride.
It was a really quick bike ride. It kind of got stranded by that park in West Seattle.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like there and I had a bike that I couldn't ride and there was like no bus nearby and like there weren't really any Ubers around and I didn't really want to get on an Uber with a bike also.
But yeah, so I rode my bike home to get a car to come pick him up. It was a whole fucking thing.
Yeah, so I just sat in the parking lot for a while. It was really cool.
It was great. okay, so fast forward. We're like, let's try again. So October 6th was the fateful day.
So for the bike nerds out there who were wondering what had happened, some of the rim tape in my back wheel was fucked up. And so basically the tube was getting punctured from the inside of the wheel.
No.
Yeah, so brought it to a shop, JRA in Crown Hill. Love those guys.
Shout outs.
Yeah. Got me all sorted and good to go. And so we took on Take Two.
And yeah, and Colden was like, Randy, I promise. I promise we're going to do it this time. So at this point, it's like, we're ready to go. And our whole plan was a progressive meal. So we're going to like, I think we did taco at the first one.
Like it was like a small soft taco, didn't we do?
Yeah, we did mini soft tacos at Rainier. I forget we got an Inner Bay, but then we got crisp burrito. I think we got tater fries at Inner Bay.
That's right.
Crisp burritos at Shill Shoal, and then Crustos at Lake City. So it was like one complete meal because this is happening over the course of, you know, a few hours. And we probably could have eaten more, but also we didn't want to, I don't know, puke or whatever. So some just like along the journey, incredible weather, not a cloud in the sky. Like it was perfect. It was right before Kraken season started. So they had these giant Kraken bobbleheads sprinkled all over the city. So we were riding through the ID and there was this giant Matty Beniers bobblehead. So we pulled over and took a picture with a Matty Beniers bobblehead. Then 2 minutes later, we got a flyover by two F-18s because it was a Seahawks home game. And right, so it was like 105 and there's a flyby and we're like, this is like nothing can go wrong. We're two taco times down. There was a bobblehead. There's not a cloud in the sky. We just got to fly over America. Fuck yeah. Like it was just great. Again, it was October 6th. So I'm just, and then
understand the scene.
Yeah. But no, it was super great. And if you just think about, I described it to someone as like, if you just did a Seattle bike ride, this was like a greatest hits of riding a bike in Seattle. We like over the West Seattle Bridge along. We took the mountain to Sound Greenway for a second along I-90. We came down Rizal Bridge from Beacon Hill and you get that big view of the city. We rode along the waterfront. We went across the locks. We took the Burt Gilman Trail. You're going like under the Fremont Bridge and Gasworks and all. So even without the tacos, it was just like a greatest hits of Seattle 30-mile bike ride. Yeah, I will say, when you're wearing Taco Time bike jerseys and you walk into a Taco Time, you will get questions from people. So the crew at the different Taco Times, some of them, I think, if of the five, maybe like two or three said something, two or three did not. It was pretty split. But it's like, hey, what's the deal with it? Like, they didn't really know about like the cycling team or whatever. And we told them, and we're riding to every Taco Time.
We also got stopped outside of Lumen Field because like we were kind of crossing like right before the CS game started. So there's just like a ton of people there crossing First Avenue there. And like we're just kind of standing on the corner and some people behind us are like, this guy's sponsored by Taco Time? Like, is that cool? Can you be sponsored by Taco Time?
We were at the corner of like First and Royal Brougham, and there it was like a sea of people, and these drunk people just wanted to know more about our like taco. So that was pretty cool. I have some stats for kind of wrapping it up.
Of course,
So
dude.
r
Yeah. You would
look,
expect no less.
yeah, I'm going back into my screenshots here. So our total like time on bike was 2 hours and 50 minutes. We did 29.4 miles. I burned a total of 1,800 calories. I don't know about you.
Oh, I should check my
You should
time.
check it. But yeah, we like 1,100 feet of elevation gain, average heart
Oh,
rate
wow.
146. Like, we were working pretty hard, and it was I'd say the worst part where we were like, I hate my life and I want this to be over, was when you turn from the Burke-Gilman Trail down at like lake level. And you need to get all the way up to like Lake City, and it's just a slog of an uphill. And that's when I was like, I'm good. Everything hurts. I just want some Crestos. So no, it was a ton of fun. Good memories.
For the record, my average heart rate was 119, so I had a slightly easier ride.
Yeah, and Colden has a nicer bike than I
I
do,
was
so.
on a real honest sky road bike, not a gravel bike, which definitely added a lot.
Yeah, I was putting in the work. So anyway, I think that's it. Do you guys have curiosities, questions about the tour to Taco Time? I mean, surely like Los Angeles 2028, if you're listening, you're always looking for demonstration sports. So yeah.
Oh, I will
Maybe
say
carrying the torch at some point.
that's true. Yeah, it's not a torch though, it's just a taco that's on fire.
Or a cactus.
Yeah, I will say I did decide early on that instead of carrying water with me, I was going to get a fountain drink at each Taco Bell and change up the
Taco
drinks.
Time, Taco
Oh,
Time.
sorry, not
Oh
Taco,
my
Taco Time.
God,
Oh no, can
that's
we get
kind of a
that?
talking Taco Time
Yeah, can we
faux
fix
pas,
that in
but
post?
we'll let it slide.
Yeah, so at each Taco Time I got a different soda, which was kind of fun and exciting because it kept me on my toes until we were coming down the Helix Bridge by Expedia and like you have to carry your bike down the stairs and I managed to spill like a whole cup of root beer all over myself and my bike.
I mean, this would have been really good if they still had the freestyle machines, because you could have been getting like Powerade with some like lemonade mixed in there.
Hell
I re
yeah.
I I'm missing that machine lately, actually.
Yeah. But no, and I posted some pictures on Instagram, but like Colden just straight up had his Taco Time cup in his like water bottle holder. And so it was just giving a lot of swag, like, right?
It was super gross by the end, though.
Oh yeah, but
Yeah. So no, yeah, good times, would recommend. And yeah, it really, I was just thinking like, well, what's next? Like, it's there's the cycling team people, they told me that they've done similar rides, but like out long distances, like, if you're going from Olympia to Centralia, and they get Taco Time on either end, but not like in the as much of an urban environment, eating a ton. So I don't know. I would go. I do a like go around Lake Washington loop, get some Taco Time. I don't know. It was super fun, and I felt like I could just eat whatever I wanted.
That's true.
So
We definitely did not burn off as many calories as we consumed, but it doesn't matter because it still evened out in the end.
yeah.
I definitely think there's like an east side ride you could do that's like
For
wouldn't be
sure.
crazy distances, but would be mostly on like rail trails and stuff. You could get a little bit more distance and a little bit less traffic and stuff. There's definitely an opportunity to expand the tour to Taco Time to other markets.
As long as those markets are within Western Washington.
That's true.
Correct.
Yeah. But the markets are very small for what it's worth. It's very niche targeted.
Or Wenatchee.
Yes.
Yeah, just go from the Wenatchee one to the East Wenatchee one.
I was gonna say, what's the one?
Or,
is there one
or
that's
back
like
and forth?
Really yeah, close yeah. to the Kelso one or something? The one
that Longview and Kelso.
Yeah.
The exit that has the two Taco Time signs on it. Yeah.
So just start ordering ahead at either one and see if you can outdo the employees by the time you get the.
We did. I think we did that on between one of the legs, didn't we?
Oh yeah, we were getting kind of tight on time at one point, and so we needed to do some. We did an order ahead when we left Inner Bay, and then by the time we scheduled it, knowing how long it would take us, about 20-ish minutes to ride up to Shoal. And so yeah, we did. We definitely did that one, but definitely tried to burn through the gift card at the in person. When else was I going to in person order other than
yeah.
So
and today,
yeah. So there you have it. It was a time.
There was tacos.
It was a taco time.
And it's suddenly 5 months ago.
We're taking registrations for this year's.
Yeah.
Hit us up, peltoncast@gmail.com. Yeah, which speaks to how long it's been since we've recorded an episode, and I got to take the responsibility for that. We had a great guest lined up who we're hoping to have back in the future. We all convened at the Rainier Taco Time.
In person.
In person. Real life. IRL.
With a guest.
Back in October. And I pulled out my backpack and discovered that I had not placed the recorder in there as I thought I had. So I'm the problem. It's me. But we're not going to leave you that long. Once again, going to work.
Are we done?
No. I'm just, okay.
I thought you were
that.
Wrapping up the podcast. No. And I was like, wow, we have other topics to get to.
And to be fair, when the people find out who this person is that we met up with, we had a lovely dinner hanging out with this person, talking taco time offline. And can't wait for people to meet this big fan. So.
And using our Taco Time gift cards, which we should thank the good people at Taco Time Northwest for hooking us up with those. Still going strong on mine. I think Tristan's already burned through his.
No, it's not even.
Mine's been gone for so long.
Yeah.
It's been gone for so long that I'm mad at you about still having yours.
I have $48 as of today. So
I'm kind of shocked. Randy, you had.
That's after two taco burger combos too.
Yeah, I'm just not trying to do anything but order ahead.
So
you're
thing.
Still eating at Taco Time. You're just paying for it and not using the gift card.
I'm usually just eating at home. Here's the thing. I will, as a transition out of the tour to Taco Time, our game plan, our toddler is now 20 months old. He's quite smart. He's figuring out the world, right? I will leave at like 6, go get Taco Time, come back at 6:15 for dinner. And when I come in the door, he says, taco or taco time. And it's very cute. Last night.
Was that his first word?
Yeah. No, he's not that perfect. So last night, like, swear to God, my husband can vouch for me. I leave to go get Azelle's. Last night. I come home. I walk through the door and he says, taco. Like, if I leave the house for 10 minutes and come back with a bag of food, he thinks that it's taco time now.
As he should.
That checks out.
So that's why I'm not eating in, you know.
My nephew is really into my tattoo. So he's always like, taco time. And also my beanie. I let him wear it sometimes. He's like, Uncle Mustache, taco time beanie.
That's pretty adorable, but it's also strange that your nephew sounds like Yoda.
I guess he kind of does.
Taco time beanie you have. All right, let's go through the questions for Colden. Starting off with, what is your go-to order at Taco Time?
Ooh, usually I'll do a soft burrito combo. If I'm feeling a little extra, I'll also throw a crisp burrito in there as like a little dessert item, but... I like to just keep it classic.
That's very talking taco time. The crisp burrito on the side.
Yeah.
We heard you did chips and salsa today.
Yes.
We actually saw it. We saw photographic evidence.
Oh, you guys.
Very classy.
One of the first times Colden and I ever went out and had taco time together, he told me his sneak. And he was like, watch this sneak. Like, you may have pinned a success rate to it of like,
I guess it's like 2/3 of the time.
Go ahead and tell the good people. This is Almost, I almost was like, should he not even say it on the pod?
I know.
It's so
good. I hope they don't
I'm
shut this
so
down.
Ready. I'm hold on. Yeah,
okay, so I've learned when you order a combo, what do you get as your side every time?
Fries. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Because if you don't say anything, they just give you the fries, right?
Yeah. You can. There are some other options.
Yes. But. So I have read the list. I enjoy a good chips and salsa, right? And what I have learned is that if you order a combo with chips and salsa instead of fries, about 2/3 of the time, they'll actually give you both because they just see combo on the thing and assume fries, but then also see chips and salsa and put it in the bag.
And so the first time we had Taco Time in person together, he was like, watch this. I'm going to like Google this. And I was like, there's no way. And then it happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is just like ordering in person, or has this worked using the app or?
No, I do it at the drive-thru most of the time. Or ordering in person. But I suspect it would work online just as well. I mean, I guess it depends on how the receipts come out for them, I guess, right? Because, like, theoretically, it should print out as if I just ordered the combo with chips and salsa instead of the fries. But, which I assume that if you order online, it would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But
today, because we had the two taco burgers, we did one with chips and salsa, one with fries. We assume that that hits different, right? Like, yeah. But that's a sneak that I'm like, God damn, like this man's a genius.
That's when
that is genius. I'm impressed.
Me.
Yeah.
My sneak is hitting the wrong button and then my crisp chicken taco lights or crisp chicken tacos light and also have beef on them somehow. And then I like checked the receipt, like somehow I added beef to those. Pretty good though.
I say, yeah. How is that? There's the chicken beef that we talked about.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day when I worked there, you know, you have to get creative when you're eating it, you know, multiple times a day. So I've dabbled in the chicken beef game many times.
Is that like what's the Taco Time version of a McGangbang?
Yeah,
that's basically
yeah.
what that is, right?
Yeah,
yeah. You want to throw some pinto beans, rice, beef, and chicken, you know, on like a little soft burrito action.
That sounds really good.
All right, back to our questions. Do you have any former Taco Time favorites?
Ooh. I mean, I also enjoyed the Chicken Caesar stuff, and so it is missed dearly. But I feel like I haven't been around long enough to see many things kind of go away.
Like the fucking chimichanga I had? Because what's the location, Randy, that they only
Lacey.
Have?
Lacey's got chimichangas.
Lacey.
And Olympia.
I already had ordered and Randy had texts like, did you get the chimmy? And I went back to the counter to order it because I'm just like.
I got a random text. It was like, I'm in Olympia. And I was like, you better get the fucking chicken chimmy.
And I did. I went back and got it and it was so good. It's like very similar to the casita action. Just no burrito sauce and you know, a little more crispy.
The bomb.
Sounds good. Cool. Did you ever try the sweet potato tater fries?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
Yeah. Those are number one on my former Taco Time favorites list.
I mean, while we're running through it, my number one is the habanero chicken crisp burrito.
Yes.
Oh, rip to.
Big rip.
Did you guys just bring me here to list off all the things that I can't have?
Yeah.
Hey, that might come back someday. And that, you know, when they started it, they were just like doing a little habanero salsa inside the regular crisp chicken burrito. Didn't really work until they got the like special spicy tortilla and then actually like mixed the salsa
that was special.
With the mix. And then it was like perfect. And I really don't know why they got rid of it. But
look, one of the things we've learned in the last few years about Taco Time Northwest is nothing is gone forever as
True.
Long as you ask for it vociferously enough.
If you start a podcast just for the
I mean, we got the Caesar back when it felt like that it was never coming back.
Hail Caesar.
So we've already covered, have you been to the other Taco Time?
Yeah.
Which leaves us with, what is your favorite Taco Time location? I guess apparently at one point it was Wallingford.
It was Wallingford.
Sadly ripped to Wallingford.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Shishol location a lot, especially with its proximity to the locks. Like a good go get some food and go sit on the grass and watch boats go by afternoon can be pretty great. trying to think if there's any other ones that are like really meaningful. I mean, the one in Kirkland that we tailgated at was pretty great. Mostly just because it was late at night and nobody cared, and you know, we're drinking seltzers out the back of the truck. I don't know. I feel like the location to me is less interesting than the memories that you make at the location. Right?
Wow. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
What if the real taco time was the friends we made? All
But also the taco burgers we ate along the way.
But also the taco, yeah. True. It can be both.
Yeah.
Okay. Other topics. Tristan, did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to hear Randy's thoughts about, apparently, I didn't see it. I'm not as up on the Taco Time social media as you all are. There was a party.
Mm.
A launch.
To unveil, to celebrate, to launch the taco burger. And I guess the talking Taco Time invites were lost in the mail.
Yeah, you know, I get informed delivery too in my email from the USPS every day. So normally, you know,
if me too, man.
I check my spam folder, nothing. And maybe it's a in that moment, I truly was like, you know, the squeaky wheel. We haven't put out a podcast since July, right? Like, like, did they think we like hung up the crisp burrito, so to speak? But anyway, I will say, so
they would hang up the cactus, right? Because that's our word, the talking cactus.
Thank you. And I will say that, right, they did their sort of teases and all that, and one of them was a bun, and it said something like, we've got something in the oven. And I just posted that, you know, try to be a good, you know, supporter on my Instagram story.
Yeah.
And no fewer than three people thought this was me cryptically saying that we were having another kid.
I was one of those people.
Including Colden.
So good.
So I was like, just like,
whose oven, simples, first of all?
No. like, it's the, but also it's like the closest you could come to like, what is a Taco Time? Like, not a gender reveal party, but like a Taco Time
birth announcement. Yeah.
Anyway, like little hockey skates, like, we're adding another like wing to our line or whatever. No, ours is just a bun, apparently. So there's that. Yeah, there was a big, you know, big influencer thing. And I someone at my office was like, wow, they had this whole influencer event. And I was like, here's the thing. I work in marketing communications. I actually thought it was great what they did with the launch. We, the four of us, are like Taco Time. We are influencing our own circle. The people that they had there were like,
they want to bring in some young, you know, some fresh blood.
Yeah, they were.
But there were four more spots on the invite list.
We'd be the old guys with our mustaches in the corner. Yeah. I think I actually did see a young kid with a mustache there, though.
That's literally what I said. Modern mustache.
Yeah. Weak.
Yeah.
I believe that conversation was offline.
I know, but still.
You've got a mustache for TikTok. So, but no, so it was, in looking at like the thing, it's like, oh no, they're trying to like reach out and broaden the thing. So totally get that. And also, you know, again, what's four little spots?
I mean, I think but we also had our fun Evening Magazine. That was like when they were doing the Taco Burger last time.
That's put true. On by Evening Magazine, not Taco Time. But
well, they gave us some before. Being we honest, couldn't have ordered one at that time.
I saw the Mariners did a preview of, which granted, I'm not surprised. That's the Mariners, whatever. But I am like, the Pelton cast is not doing a good enough job in this one specific category. Where I'm like, I felt like this was what we had down, is being invited to events like this.
And I saw like food related at the intersection of like food
sports
and
food.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
That's it. That's where we land, right there.
That has always been a goal, to get invited to those events.
I see Mina Kimes, though. She's walking around on TikTok doing a mock of the first 10 picks of the draft. ESPN senior writer Kevin Pelton, we'll see, it's been boldly predicted, but has as of yet been doing the walking around talking about trade grades on TikTok. So maybe when that happens, things will be a little bit different.
Yeah, you got to be ticking and talking. And talking Taco Time, Al.
Oh my God. Anyway, we're not butthurt about it at all. We love you, Taco. We love you, Taco Time Northwest. So next time you bring back something and you're having a thing, you know where to find us. We're right here in your feed every 12 to 18 months.
sometimes with a special guest, maybe.
Yeah.
If we remember the recording equipment. That was my main topic.
Me forgetting the recording equipment?
No. That's hypothetically water under the bridge. Have you asked that person again? I don't know why we're saving it as a secret. I like it.
No, I think we should save it as a secret. I did mention it to this person via DM, but have not gotten a date nailed down.
Did they respond?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, they weren't
like, you're going to make me show up again.
Yeah.
Boy, no, I said we would do it over Zoom this time.
They were trapped with us at a taco time with no recording equipment and never responded to the DM again. I know what these guys are all about.
They just wanted something from me.
Ooh, it's like a horror story first date. Person invited me onto their podcast with four white guys.
With no recording equipment.
No recording equipment.
Yeah, get out, talking taco time.
Are four white guys allowed to sit around and talk if it's not for podcast purposes?
That's why they almost kicked us out.
Yeah. Chris, did you have any topics to cover?
Just trying different stuff on the menu. Like, I've been getting the crisp chicken taco light a lot lately instead of, you know, a regular taco. Or I got the nachos the other day, but you know, they usually come with like black beans, pico, you know, and the cheese. I got it without the black beans. I'm not too big a fan of those. And then I try to add corn salsa, but when I got home, it was literally just beef and cheese. No pico, no corn salsa. But I don't think it's a great to-go item. The cheese kind of sticks to that compostable container. So the parts that weren't sticking to the container, I still enjoyed. Got some jalapenos, which I don't normally get from there. You know, the little cups. Throwing that on there. Probably a much better dine in. Trying to just switch it up as I wait for the return of the chicken Caesar soft taco.
Presumably the next LTO, we'll see what sort of schedule they start establishing. But I guess that's going to be the summer item in Taco Burger 2.0 is for spring now.
And then when do they usually do the shrimp, Randy?
I mean, shrimp has been like, has been summer before, but has been a like summer into fall before. That's, you know, that's my white whale right there. So.
Well, we will continue to monitor the situation and bring you emergency pods as news warrants, plus some regular ones with some guests we've been lining up. So thanks for sticking with us through this long hiatus. And we promise it's not going to be that long again. Thanks so much to Colton for joining us.
Oh, thanks, man.
And thanks to you for listening.